I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 13. Episode 13. Unlucky for some, but not you, because you've chosen to tune into to the Waypoint UK podcast, presented by me, unfortunately, for everyone involved, Mike Diver, senior editor at Waypoint. And I'm joined today for an episode where we're going to be talking about kids and games and kids by two people who have kids, thankfully. Otherwise, why would you be here, I suppose?
Ellie and Gibson. Games. I've got games and kids.
You've got games and kids.
Imagine that.
I'm aware of this. And you've written about games and kids as well.
So many times.
And also the distant, well, not too distant past. It's not like your kids are, 18 or anything yet.
No, they are actual kids, which is helpful.
Actual kids can be 18 still, I think.
Oh, that
when,
sounds...
When does a child technically become an adult? Because, I mean, I'm 37 and fuck if I know.
Yeah, no, well, that's true. I don't know.
Excellent. Ellie Gibson and Gary Dutton, or Gareth Dutton, or Gary Dutton. And
yes, no one,
you are today.
No one, including me, knows what to go with that. Let's say, to make it sound like peak prick, let's say Gareth Dutton, a.k.a. Gary Dutton.
There you go, a.k.a. I like people who show up with an a.k.a. involved.
That's fine.
Because it sounds kind of violent at the same time. And usually video games are violent, but hopefully we won't be going down those avenues today. We're talking about lovely, cute, the acceptable face of family-friendly video gaming.
That's it.
Or maybe we'll just sack that off and talk about, I don't know, what's been... Manhunt. Why not? That's a thing. The kids love a manhunt.
That's contemporary.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. People are rapidly turning off. But just quickly, guys, I mean, what do you do outside of showing up on podcasts?
Well, I show up on another podcast called Scummy Mummies, which I co-host with my friend Helen. And we also do a live comedy show and a book. It's all called Scummy Mummies. That's the one thing we know about marketing. Call it all the same thing.
I should have brought it here.
You've got a book.
You could have signed it. No, we've got your book.
Oh, you've got our book?
Yeah. Aww. I mean, not me, but my wife, who is the mummy, has the Scummy Mummies book.
Has she read it?
She has.
Oh, there you are.
And she didn't say, is this, and throw it back in my face. You know, it was generally well received.
Oh, that's the best we can
that's
hope
the best
for,
review,
really. That's
it?
That's what we go
that's
for.
That's like a verbal Amazon 3 out of 5, isn't
it? Yeah, 7 out of 10, we'll take that. That's
order arrived.
Score. Yeah.
But yes. You also do, you're on the telly as well.
So I do that. So I'm also in a TV show called Dara O'Brien's Go 8-Bit on Dave. I'm the games expert on that. And I host the spin-off show, which is called Go 8-Bit DLC. So that's Monday nights on Dave.
But it's not actually downloadable.
No, it's not. But, you know, it seemed snappy. Put it this way. The commissioner, the channel commissioner, wanted to call it Go 9-Bit.
Ah.
And
I can see why there was an intervention.
Yes. I had to say that's the worst idea anyone's ever had, Ian, apart from when you said we should put cheats in the programme. And he
Maybe
said, okay, what would you call it?
So you videotape it and then play it back at half speed. That would be good. Remember that?
He's missed that's a trick brilliant. There. Yeah. You're quite right. Yeah.
Sorry. Cool. Yeah. Yes. TV is good. Gary. What? Gareth. Gareth. What am I calling you for this?
I'm sorry. I know it's
duration
this is,
of this podcast.
It's just my own making. This. As I was saying, Gareth. It's good to just have one single name for marketing. That's good, isn't it? Not two that various people know you by. Yeah. Sorry. Gaz. Go with Gaz.
I'll go with Gaz.
Mum and Dad call me that.
So. Gaz, because I mean, you've been busy on a secret project.
I have, which I'm now allowed to talk about, which is good. I've been following Us Two Games for about a year now. As I've been making Monument Valley 2 under one of my many guises, to add to the confusion, Making Games is Fun, which is my podcast.
Which is a dot com as well.
Yes, it is. It is. And at Making Games is Fun, because I couldn't fit two G's in. Good. Again, good marketing.
Yeah,
good branding.
I feel like you could have thought this through more, to be honest.
Thinking through isn't my, it's not my thing.
Right.
And so I've been following them for the last year. They've been making that. And there's going to be various projects coming out of that because mm-hmm. I've got basically too many photos over the course of the year, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
But Making Games is Fun is a kind of a, it's a podcast. It's a sort of a written series and it's photo documentary stuff as well, because, you know, you can never do too many things at the same time.
I mean, some people would call you a Renaissance man, Gary, but I mean, those people are probably no friends of ours.
If Da Vinci didn't bother learning how to paint properly, he just did lots of things quite badly, then yes, fine.
To a standard acceptable for the internet.
Yes.
But I mean, you've been in print as well. I've seen your photographs in print. I shouldn't undermine what a good photographer you are.
Yes, I'll do that myself. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've shot for Games TM previously for a few years, which was lots of fun. Lots of different portraits of,
I've seen some
lovely people we all know and love.
Because it's really hard to make people who make games look interesting a lot of the time, because they're just not interesting people.
Yes.
I hate to break it to listeners, but you know, they're just kind of ordinary.
And it's usually, you usually have about 4 minutes while the PR kind of pushes them out of the room as you're trying to take a photo.
Yeah. And you're like, this is just Tim Schafer. It's not like Tim Curry. I'm trying to think of a megastar there, and Tim Curry came out of my mouth.
Oh, Tim
showing
Curry.
Showing our age. I mean, he is a megastar.
I mean, he is. I adore him.
I interviewed him once on the phone, and it was possibly the best 25 minutes of my life.
There you go. He's done games before, Tim Curry. He was in one of those Star Wing Commanders.
He was, wasn't he?
Red Alert.
Command and Conquer, right?
Yeah.
He was like, you know, to go where the something communism in space.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
I forget the quote.
The genius.
It doesn't matter. No one's playing Command and Conquer today. They're all playing Mario games because we just had the Nintendo Direct.
And all these topical references. Tim Curry,
right?
Manhunt.
Command
and Conquer.
What next? Rod Hull and Emu? We just don't know. We don't know where he's going to go.
If someone knocks on that door, I will merrily sing, "There's somebody at the door. There's somebody at the door." Now that's getting really British TV niche right there, okay? An old British TV.
Oh, yeah. Rock bands.
Children. Let's bring it back around. We have kids. Just like I have two boys, 6 and 3. They're starting to get into video games, which is why I've called this summit, if you will, of gaming parents, so we can talk about the pressures and the responsibilities of having games with children, around children, introducing children to games, and how children affect our own relationship with games, I suppose. Because, you know, gaming is a maturing medium. Lots of people who, you know, of our age, slightly younger, slightly older, will be having kids and thinking, shit, now I can no longer stack 12 hours into Xenoblade or something. You're just not going to be able to do that. So that's kind of the theme of this podcast. And we've got quite a lot of comments and questions from readers and people on Twitter who are in very similar positions, actually. So, I have two kids, 3 and 6. Gary, yourself, you've got
two kids, 5, and the other one's still in the stage where you do it in months. So I'm thinking it's 16 months now, but, you know, who keeps count?
At that age, you know.
A year and a few months.
Yeah. So your 5-year-old presumably is quite, you know, because of your own gaming preferences, you know, there's a daughter, right? Your two daughters.
Yes, two daughters, yeah.
So she's taking an interest and looking over your shoulder and going, Daddy.
Yes.
What is that thing that man is holding? And you're like, playing Saints Row 4 and it's a giant purple dong. And you're just like...
We've all been there.
Yeah.
Yes. You've come down from bed.
At least yours was in a video game.
Yeah. No, she's legitimately beating me at Mario Kart 8 now. Genuinely.
With the auto steer and stuff on there?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Just straight up. She can power slide.
She's a prodigy.
Yeah. I got to a point where I thought, I'm going to race her properly, but I won't use a shell. And then after a couple of sort of races coming second, I went, I'm going to use a shell now because I'm not enjoying coming last, and then I still come in second. So
that's good.
Yeah, it's at a cool point where it's sort of, you know, it's not kind of, there's three stages. One where you're just making sure they don't have a terrible time because they're very bad.
Because the kids get very upset about this.
Yes.
They do.
One where you're letting them win, and then now where it's just I enjoy it more because we genuinely jockey for first place. And
Is it a mix of pleasure because you've passed down this thing that you're enthused by, and shame because your 5-year-old daughter can skin you at Mario Kart?
It's not shame. It just sort of reminds you of the sort of ever encroaching
of your own mortality.
Hand of the Reaper, yeah. But apart from that, fine, yeah.
Death is coming for us all.
It's it indeed.
Is coming for us all, yeah.
With, in so many ways. Without a spiny shell. Ellie Gibson.
Hi.
Hi. I do this sometimes. It's cool. I just pick certain people and I use both names. So if I do this across the course of the podcast...
I think there's something about my name. You're not the first person to do that.
Yeah, it's got a nice rhythm to it.
It's got a good ring to it. And there's only one version as well, as opposed to me, where you just don't know what to say.
Yeah, I'm not pissing about.
No.
This is my name.
Yours is, you know, A3, straight line, boom, done. Yours is Spaghetti Junction all over the fucking show.
I know.
But in a beautiful way. Mm. There's a beautiful architecture to it, but just don't try and never navigate it after a drink on foot. Two boys, Ellie, I believe.
Yes, I've got two boys. I've got Joe, who's 2.5, and Charlie, who is 6 next week, in fact. So
happy birthday, Charlie. Yeah. You probably won't be listening to this on account of all the swearing.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I don't know, maybe.
No, he's not. He's not so much into the swearing. He does like a game. He's very excited about the Crash Bandicoot remake that is coming out.
Is he excited, or have you made him excited? Because that's a strange one for a kid to be excited about.
Well, funny enough, we got into it because I used to play the Crash games back in the day, and then I wrote a retrospective for you, Mike Diver.
Yeah.
See, I'm doing it now. Yeah. For you about Crash Bandicoot. And as part of my research for that, because I'm an extremely, you know, authoritative journalist, I went back and played the old games, and Charlie came in and would watch me, and then he would try and play, and then he would completely fail within 15 seconds because they're impossibly hard. And it went on like that. And now one of his favourite things to do is to watch me play Crash Bandicoot. So when we heard the new remake was coming out, I did show him the YouTube trailer, and now he will not stop fucking going on about it. So that was an error. That was
a massive mistake. Right? So he's, you know, you're going to get that. You can play it together/ taking turns and whatnot.
That's the plan. I'm just hoping they've made it easier, quite honestly.
It was really hard.
Yeah.
It was really hard before. People don't realise this about old games, that they could be terrifically difficult.
To the point of frustration, I think, as well. That's the point.
And we go back far enough and they just were broken and never patched. Patches weren't a thing.
No.
On cartridges.
Imagine that.
And floppy disks and what have you. So, you know, I guess the first kind of thing to pick up on is, I mean, you maybe mentioned it then, you know, Crash Bandicoot is something you can pick up and put down. Mario Kart again, like, let's play for 20 minutes. You know, before kids came along, were you both, as I was, quite partial to a bit of a sesh? You know, I can quite easily lose 8 hours, 9 hours to a game. I stop and pause and have a piss and, you know, top up my drink and stuff. But, you know, as it, I happily lose a day, and then like kids come along and you're like, oh, that's cool. They're relatively in. You put them down there, they stay where they are, but they keep calling for stuff even before they can talk. And if you leave them long enough, you know, it's kind of a multi-sensory thing whereby you have the noise and the smell and everything else. So, you know, it does kind of quickly. For you guys, do you find it became post-children, your kind of gaming time was a lot more fractured and just finding the right, and maybe finding the right games to play?
It was, it just kind of shifted, really. It was fractured, but in other ways it wasn't, because I think with the first child, anyone who already has children would always go, oh, that's it now. No anything, no breathing, no.
Your life is over.
In that exact tone of voice as well. Oh, well, no, that's you done. But I kind of found that when they're very young as well, you are awake for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. With not a lot to do. So sometimes there are certain games that will fit that, especially if it's not, you know, you're not playing sort of a Twitch shooter while you're rocking
nothing
the baby.
Nothing too demanding, I suppose. Nothing that can't be paused as well.
Yeah, or turn-based things or anything that can be paused, or you can just sort of trundle along, a bit of Skyrim, something like that. You just sort of, because it doesn't really matter what happens in Skyrim, does it? Because it's just this little
Try telling E3.
Drift-a-thon.
It was in every conference.
Yes.
It's in VR and on your Switch, and I don't know, probably playable on the back of a toilet lid these days. Is Skyrim the new Doom? You know, Doom is playable on...
Oh, God, it'll be on a calculator soon, won't it? Yeah, that's true. I just found that the way I played shifted, really. And obviously, because kids change so often, the way you play would change.
That's because they shit
themselves,
Gary.
Yes.
You know,
oh, God. Yeah.
Sorry, this is
no, it's fine. That's fine.
It's kids chat. This is the thing. Yeah, I'm much more natural with kids chat than I am games chat.
You know, the way you play changes a lot as well. And I remember when Sam's my eldest.
Right.
And George is the youngest. When Sam was about one or a bit younger, she would wake up in the night and she'd sort of require you to hold her for an hour. And at that time,
my 6-year-old still does that.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish he wouldn't.
You need to sort that out.
My husband still does that. Drives me up the wall.
just give him a little, you know, medicinal.
Just roll in half an hour.
I'm sure he'll be fine. Apparently, you can't do that with 6-year-olds.
No,
not
apparently.
Yet. Just leave this government in place a while. I'm sure it'll be fine. Let's not talk politics.
Hey, by the time this podcast goes out.
Yeah, well, there you go. God. This government could mean anything.
Yeah.
Indeed. Exciting, right, isn't it? On this side of things.
Terrifying.
Now.
Could be living in a socialist paradise or fascism. We just don't know.
I keep telling my wife, she's a big fan of The Handmaid's Tale, and now it's on TV. I'm like, you're looking at, this is next week.
Yeah.
This is not some near future, like, ruinous situation. This is Dagenham, potentially. Sorry, Dagenham. Basingstoke is another place.
Spreading the anger between Dagenham and Basingstoke there to just sort of.
It's a good show though.
Surely just increasing the mob.
I'm sorry, you were saying about your daughter woke up in the middle of the night.
Yes. And needed to be held.
And at that time, there was a sort of an iPhone version of Minecraft going around. And I'd just pop her on my chest like that in the rocking chair and sort of do one-handed like digging and whatever those. Snake things are. You can tell it's one of my favourite games.
People can't see
snake
where they're
killing.
Listening, but you were,
I was miming the technique.
There's a miming of something there. Yeah.
And this microphone could be the baby, look, just on the chest, and it'd just be an hour of that, so I didn't go mad.
Yeah.
Sort of 2 a.m. And I secretly quite like sort of tired, middle of the night gaming sessions on things. Just. Anything like that?
Not to the extent where you'll deliberately wake up, flip open your 3DS and play Fire Emblem.
Set my alarm for 2.
It's just weird. Yeah.
Yeah. After a while, you get a taste for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it's sort of quite like it because you think, well, I'm sort of still getting my gaming in here.
Yeah.
But, so
sneak gaming is a
sneak gaming is fun, right?
Stealth gaming, I suppose. There's someone, I can go straight to the comments because someone just say here, where are they? Oh yeah. Gary Birchall on Twitter says that lack of time is an obvious thing, but that grows into stealth play, i.e. playing with your child, but not necessarily with your child. So that's exactly what you're talking about there, Gary, where you can just like, here's the thing I can do while I'm taking care of you.
Yes.
You know, and portable stuff is great for that. I mean, Ellie, did you find with kids that you started using more handheld games than sit-down console experiences?
Oh, definitely, because I also had to do breastfeeding. So, you know,
right.
I knew that I'd give you both a sharp intake of breath, but where we are.
I totally forget how ladies, because I've had 2 kids now, I now forget how ladies work. It's like, that's it, the shop is closed.
You forget how ladies work. You're just like, don't need to know that now.
That's right, my wife has no interest in what I do professionally, she will not hear this come out.
Well, depends what we...
So just like you, one-handed gaming was very much was a thing for hours and hours and hours. And I will say I did, you know, fully in the cliche, I did get into Candy Crush very, very seriously and heavily. Mm. It's a day-by-day thing. I take every day as it comes now. I've managed to stay away from Bubble Witch Saga because I know it can only go wrong.
What goes through your kind of whole body if you walk past? I was going to say Woolies Pick and Mix, but I guess it's like a, you know, end of an aisle at Sainsbury's now.
This is it. If I see a jelly bean, I just break out into a sweat. It's a disaster. It's an absolute living nightmare.
I mean, I can relate, but with like, you know, the whole roast chickens and the rotisseries.
Oh,
because I played Streets of Rage 2 so much as a kid.
Oh,
like if I walked past one of those shops that's got those little like ovens like in the front of the shop.
Or you just expect to find them in bins or within the metal of a lamppost.
Yeah, there was an incident when I was 15 when a local police officer took me home after I was kicking in some bins.
Yeah.
And he asked me what I was doing and I gave an excuse like I was just really frustrated. I was depressed. I was a teenager. But the reality of it was that Streets of Rage 3 was really hard. And so I went a bit doolally and went out looking for chickens in bins.
Yeah.
But that's another podcast altogether, really. Like how 16-bit games corrupted us.
Exactly. In my 20s, I had a thing about red trainers. And then eventually I realised it was because I used to play a lot of Rainbow Islands.
And
I thought they'd make me faster. There was a part of my brain that subconsciously thought that. And still does.
I think that's fair enough. Like buying, like, you know... Nike Air Jordans would immediately make you good at any sport.
Yeah.
I can categorically confirm that is not the case, you know. But yeah, I mean, casual games, mobile games, I guess they kind of come into their own. And does that mean, you know, as your kids get older, you know, can you get back into the longer experiences? Like we've got, you know, a great game of this year with the new Zelda game, which is both portable and you can stick it on your TV. That kind of, and I've seen Keza McDonald obviously playing on her, who's editor of Kotaku. She had a baby this year. We gave her our old cot. So it was quite fun to see pictures of like every now and again their little baby, and I'm like, oh, I recognize that piece of furniture. But yeah, like, you know, she's sort of, you know, handheld and stuff. You know, big games on handhelds are still a possible thing, I guess.
Yeah. I find that actually, if I want that kind of hardcore sort of hit that I need as a serious gamer, I found that things like, I play a lot of sort of competitive online stuff. It's actually quite fits the format of having kids and having, because if you have an hour, you can play for an hour.
Yeah.
But it's also the kind of thing you can do in quick bursts. I'm going to have two games of this.
Does it stop you falling down the hole of just one more game kind of thing? Which we all have, like Rocket League and me, that's terrible. Like, I'm up to 3 a.m. Like,
it's more that I need to stop playing because now the baby's crying. So yes, right. In that sense, yeah. But what I mean is, you know, if you have a pocket, you can play that and feel like you're progressing something. Which is, I mean, let's be honest, in no games you're not really progressing yourself. So, you know, it's an illusion. But you know, you get that illusion of like, you know, I feel like I've done this and I'm better at this game and I've sort of chipped away at a progress on something.
Kind of incremental advancement in games that like where you can play in short sessions. I mean, you mentioned Skyrim. That's actually a game you can do that in.
Yeah.
Even though this is a massive game, you can just go, right, I'm just going to, you know, I've got half an hour, I'll go join a guild.
Yeah. Or like, but something like, so I love my Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that really does fit in because say I suddenly find myself with an hour and a half, I can sit there and you know, spend that an hour and a half on that. But if I've got 20 minutes.
If the internet's working.
If my internet's working with YouTube, I'm sure I've lost a lot of followers complaining.
Had its problems, hasn't it?
But you know, but also fit two games in and still feel like I've moved towards something. So it still feels sort of useful or satisfying either way.
But does kids ever, like, let's say you're in a ranking system in Street Fighter, right? Street Fighter 5. You got an hour, half an hour, you have a few games, but like, you know, your kid comes and goes, Dad, I need you, Dad. And you're like, but just let me finish it. And so you lose and your ranking goes down.
Yeah.
Do you hold that against your child?
Well, I never play ranked when I know there's a chance I'm going to be interrupted.
Very wise.
Yes, that's the way you do it.
Very wise.
I sit them down and I say, look, you've made Daddy lose. Here's why that's bad. My eldest...
Take away something they love for a day.
Forever. Sam's, for better or for worse, is starting to pick up that competitive element of...
Wait, it sounds like it with Mario Kart.
Yeah. So she kind of understands. She's like, oh, it's right, Dad. She waits until I've finished a round and she'll sort of duck across the screen.
She won't walk in front of you even. Mm-mm-mm. See, my kids don't do that. But again, I hate to be like, but my wife does all the time. She just straight across screen. And now you've got VR and stuff. I'm like, don't do that. You lose the
gods. It's my dad that does that when he comes and stays with us. He just very, very slowly saunters past the screen. I was like, Dad, at least move a little bit
just
faster, please. Please. Yeah.
Glacial movement of an elder.
Yeah. As the older he gets, the slower it becomes as well.
Across your field of vision. Completing games, finishing games. No one completes Street Fighter. I guess you could win the best Street Fighter competition in the world and you can say, right, that's it, I've beaten Street Fighter.
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately you don't. I mean, post-children, do you find yourself finishing more games? I mean, working in the games media, you get a lot of games, you have to kind of cover a lot of games. It's a rare day where any of them get properly finished off. But post-kids, it's just like, look, I'm just going to dip a toe, I'm going to see if I like it. Maybe I'll stick with it for a bit, but realistically... There's just other things are priorities now.
Oh, my tolerance for sort of rubbish has definitely decreased, you know, because before I had kids, I definitely spent a whole weekend playing a sort of mediocre game just because I didn't have a ton of other stuff to do. But now, as we were saying, I don't have as much time, but also I do have a crushing sense of my own mortality and I'm fully aware that death is coming for me. And, you know, do I want to be on my deathbed thinking, well, at least I completed Ratchet and Clank 3 or whatever. That's not a very good example because that's a great game. But, you know...
Everyone should finish that game.
Yes, and everyone should finish it. But I it's the same with, it's not specific to games, it's the same with TV or films or, you know, I'll be honest, I couldn't really be bothered with Breaking Bad, Mike. I've just said it. I watched three or four episodes. I thought, do you know what? I get why people like this. It's all right, but I'm going to die.
I don't want to spend
my time on this planet watching it. Did you feel ambivalent about it as well?
No, Breaking Bad, we enjoyed a lot.
Right.
But there were some weird episodes in there, but yeah. But we've tried other things. We tried, Deadwood is the big example whereby, you know, I got the whole box set because people were like, you must watch Deadwood, and was kind of watched it like, yeah, what are we doing with our evenings? What are we doing with our lives watching this? We're not really clicking with it. And that's why, to be honest, like, it is as a parent, but it's also as a husband, I suppose. When you're sat there with your wife, partner, whoever, and like, it's 9 o'clock and I've just like put a video game on. She's like, what are you doing? Like, Don't sit there and play a video game with me. Like, I've just got the kids to bed or whatever. And you're like, yeah, all right, yeah, probably shouldn't.
Yeah, you know, don't play a video game and sit there in silence. Let's watch television and sit here in silence.
Or not, or put the TV on, sit in silence, and just play with our phones individually and not really watch the TV at all. This is one of my favourite things,
because my husband, he does still watch a lot of rubbish. Like, he's seen like Taken 3 times. I keep saying to him, you're going to die.
Does he has the 3? Tell me it does.
Probably.
I hope it does.
Does he think he has to watch it 3 times because it's the third one?
Is it like a Nier Automata? Imagine Nier Automata the film.
Every time you watch it.
Going back to Tim Curry, that's basically Clue, the movie.
That's a great film. I'd watch that 40 times.
Different endings. You got to get them all
to
get the trophy, the achievement at the end.
Definitely. One of my favourite things, because I'm also exhausted all the time. So he doesn't play video games, but he will, for example, he'll watch House of Cards, which I can't really be bothered with.
It's
but I appreciate why it's good.
Call of Duty in it, doesn't it?
Right, yeah. So that guy. So I quite like it when he watches it and I'll just sort of nap on the sofa and then intermittently wake up, watch a few minutes, nothing much would have happened, to be honest, and then I'll go back to sleep. Yeah. That's one of my favourite leisure activities.
See, I've been like up and down, like you know, doing a bit of work, maybe playing a bit on the Switch or something while my wife's been watching Orange is the New Black. Every time I look up, someone shagging someone.
Yeah.
It just seems to be the prison shagging show. I know nothing more about it apart from people in fetching overalls are often at it. I don't know if anyone listening can help me out with that.
No idea.
Yeah. Like Game of Thrones without the dragons, that's just shagging and violence, isn't it, really? But yeah, I mean, is there any kind of particular type of game that you've just post-kids fallen away from that you can't pick up anymore? Maybe that is excessively violent stuff. Maybe that is just the massive RPG side of thing.
Yeah, I think there's two sort of considerations, isn't there? It's the, is this suitable if the child wanders past and looks at it, which is a big consideration.
Rules out most, well, not most games, you know, a lot of...
A lot of things, yeah. And then the other one is, the can you sort of put aside a block of time that you're going to have to play it? I actually starting to have trouble with things that are meant to be quite short as well now, because you think, this is one of those short experience games and I could do it in one sitting, but that sitting is still sort of maybe 2 to 3 hours if you want to do it in one go. And that's still quite hard to sort of find a two or three hour block to yourself without being there. If you want to, you know, sit, put the headphones in, soak it up, and then a kid just kind of floats in front of your vision. I need a wee or I'm dying or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. That was Edith Finch and me, like played it through the course of an afternoon with like, you know, kids came back from school at like just after 3 and they're like, what's this? Why are you chopping that fish's head off? Why are you chopping that fish's head off? Why are you chopping that fish's head off? Again, that joke will make no sense unless you play it. Edith Finch is great. You should play, you know, if no one's played Edith Finch, definitely get on that. But I mean, Ellie, was there stuff that you were playing, you know, because you were, you know, widely published games journalist and whatnot before kids came along, you know, did you find yourself going like, you know, I just can't make time for that particular type of game anymore. That's just not my, like you're saying, like, you know, the mediocre stuff just falls by the wayside. So if you know what you don't like or what you know, generally prefer not to play, you just don't bother anymore.
Well, I think it's also like, so my sort of, one of my sort of specialist subjects was sort of action adventures, because I used to love those games. I still do love those
games. Kind of vibe, right?
Tomb Raiders and your Uncharted. And I reviewed the, you know, the sort of stuff like Alan Wake and Dante's Inferno, which I did play all the way through, you know, those ones. Amazing.
Disclaimer,
for money.
I didn't, yeah, yeah.
For
yeah.
money. but Yeah, like the thing about those games, although I still like them, it isn't like telly or films in that it takes you a little while to get into that world and the rhythm of it, and it's about the sort of experience of being in that world. And I find that if I pick up a game and I might have an hour or two to play, and that's lovely, but then I might not have any more time for another 2 weeks because the nature of my job as well is I'm working a lot at night, and I just it's difficult for me to go back to it. And then it's like picking up a book you haven't read for 6 months.
Yeah.
It's very hard to find the motivation to want to get back into it, remember where you are in the plot and the characters and stuff like that. And I frankly can't be asked most of the time.
That's how I've been. Like, we did a kind of a video gamey book club thing on Waypoint last month that was Binary Domain, and that's something I'd started before falling away from. So I got it out again, started it again, just fell away from because, you know, things get in the way. And then, like, it's exactly like you say, like, I have the problem with going back a week later and forgetting the controls, and you're fanning around, you're just like, for God's sake. Like, I started playing Zelda again, Breath of the Wild, because I'm like super excited about DLC and stuff, and I just want more Zelda, please. But like, I immediately chucked my sword, you know, across a field by accident, while riding a horse, just like, shit. Like, now I have to try and go back and get this thing, because like, there's too many buttons. Like, what happened to just two button pads?
So imagining Zelda really Link really falling from grace. Really sort of competent hero, and he's just sort of throwing his sword across the field.
He's the hero of time, but you know.
I've never had any time for that tit.
You don't like Link?
No, can't be bothered.
What's wrong with Link?
So much whimsy. Too much whimsy.
Yeah, there's modern.
I've never got on with them.
Breath of the Wild is moderate whimsy.
Oh,
I mean, it's not like Minish Cap whimsy or anything.
Mild peril, moderate whimsy.
Yeah. I don't wish to play
like
a
that.
Pixie.
We're getting into ratings there. Moderate peril. Because ratings are a big thing. And I want to ask you two, as you know, as people who are charged with looking after, guiding small people through life, through the early years, formative years, you wouldn't say to your kid, your six-year-old, your five-year-old, come on, guys, we're going to go watch American Psycho at the cinema. Or like, you know, we're going to go watch the latest, like, you know, The Hills Have Eyes kind of vibe. So when you're in Sainsbury's or whatever, you know, just getting your milk and bread or whatnot, and you see like someone tugging on their mum or dad's trouser leg, like, oh, Jeff at school. No one's called Jeff at school, are they?
Joseph's
name. He's never tucked on my sleeve in a supermarket, but you know.
Not for a video game.
No. Ask you if he can buy GTA.
Look at this lovely, these lovely smoked kippers or something. Yes. That's more of a father-in-law thing, yeah.
Yeah,
over on the
Jeff
fish counter.
Very into smoked kippers.
I love a good fish counter, though.
I want to be in Mike's head right now. He's got Tim Curry smoked kippers.
Well, like, I'm thinking about
my father-in-law. It's so weird in there.
Like, the Sainsbury's near me has the games right at the back, and then it goes into like the cold meat and pies, and then the fish.
Right.
Are in a row. It's quite good.
God, that's a supermarket.
It's a very unusual layout. There are clothes just downwind of the fish as well, which I'm always suspect about. You don't do that in a modern superstore. Although I suppose the air conditioning helps, but you know, I've been there, like seeing kids, you know, with their parents or grandparents even, you know, at counters, and they're buying this, that, or the other. And of course, there's an adult there, so people in these supermarkets. And I won't level this at some independent game shops. There was one up the road from me that closed recently, and the lady in there was very strict on the kind of, like, I've seen it in practice, like, you know, 12, 13-year-olds going in trying to buy, like, GTA, and she's like, ha! No. But, I mean, how do you feel about stuff like that? You know, do you know other parents, you know, through kids, through family, friends, who just go like, ah, yeah, but it's just video games, isn't it? It doesn't really matter.
Well, it's difficult. It's something I'd sort of had a sort of experience recently where we were at a six-year-old's birthday party, and this six-year-old's got three elder siblings. And at one point, Charlie had sort of disappeared, and I thought, oh, I better do some parenting, you know, put down the pint glass
where
of wine.
Is,
yeah. So make sure he is in this building. And I went upstairs, and he was in the 12-year-old brother's bedroom, and the brother was playing Battlefront, which is an 18 game.
Yes. Which one's Battlefront? Is that
Star Wars?
Oh, Star Wars Battlefront. Yeah. Is that 18? It's got shooty gun gun bang bang.
Let's say that. But also, there were copies of lying around, but not in the machine. There were copies of Call of Duty on the thing,
which definitely are bloody murder games. Yeah,
exactly. I feel like you should be at least 7 to play that, really. No, of course you should be 18. You should be 18. So that was a sort of weird one, because, you know, I sort of had to turf Charlie out of there, and he was avidly sort of like, he wasn't playing it, but he was watching it.
Because
it's Star Wars, right? So, and I suddenly thought, oh, right, because this is a thing, because then it becomes about, you know, how do you have that conversation, and how do you supervise that if they have a play date or whatever? And, you know, because to me, it's just common sense. It's not really difficult. I get asked about it a lot, you know, what game should my child play? be playing. And I always say, well, if you wouldn't let them watch an 18 film, you shouldn't let them play an 18 game. I mean, it's common sense, really. But for some reason, it does seem that there's this weird mental block some parents have because perhaps they're not gamers themselves or they don't know. I don't know
what it is. Well, they just remember what games, you know. What games did you grow up with, fellow parent collecting their child from school? That's Super Mario World, you know, Pilotlands. Pilotlands was good, you know, blah, 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 blah. Oh, great. What are you playing right now?
Yeah.
Manhunt, whatever.
Game where you get to hack a Nazi zombie to death with a wrench. I mean, it's a bit different.
Resi 7 in VR. Here you go, kid. Pop that on.
See you later. Enjoy.
This is amazing. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a nice game about a kitchen here. Do you play that for a bit?
This meal looks better than your cooking, Daddy.
I think it's, I think we'll see less of it as generations sort of shift forward. I think
it's just
it's an education thing, education of parents, really, isn't it? Because I know that, so my nieces and nephews, well, my, actually, it's just my nephews that play games, my nieces don't, but their dad's a gamer. Mm. So when they come over to my house, they'll say, you know, do you want to kind of play on the PlayStation? And I'll let them have a look through. And they'll voluntarily say to me which of these are suitable for me. You know, they're sort of, God, I can't remember what ages they are. One's 9, one's 7, one's 11, but they, not only do they know that there's things they shouldn't play, they say to me, what am I allowed to play? What's suitable for me? Which is good. And that's just indicative of just doing it properly, you know, and saying, this is probably too much for you, you shouldn't play this.
They've kind of schooled a little bit,
and they accept it and agree with it and sort of self-police themselves. That's too many selves.
It doesn't become an argument because I think it is the influence in the playground of other people, other kids talking about this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
And also sometimes games don't make it easy for themselves whereby you've got, you know, so much kids focused superhero fiction, but then you've got things like the Arkham games, which are very much not kids focused. And it's kind of like, you know, my kids will see that and you're like, oh, cool, a Batman game. Can we play this? No, we can't. Because what does that number say on the front? It's like a 15 or something like that. And how old are you? I'm 3. I'm nearly 4, etc.
Yeah, exactly.
Big difference.
With Sam, so Sam's 5, she's going to be 5.5. Mm. And the one thing that I'm sort of, that's my borderline game that she does play, and I sort of, some days I think I'm all right to let her do that, and some days I think, is this right? But I let her play Overwatch.
Okay.
Because she really likes it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of,
it's very Pixar.
It is.
But there are still the violence,
there's one or two things that are still just like the terminology. So, you know, you get your little announcer saying triple kill and stuff like that. And then they sort of go, I wince a little bit and go, but
also talking gorilla.
Also talking gorilla and fun. And look at it, a banana hat. And, you know, loves it. But it, so it's kind of on the borderline. I think that's kind of a parent by parent decision, really, depending on who your child is and what you think they'll take out of it. But I have used it as a opportunity to show her something that's maybe a little bit over her age, but I can have a discussion with her about it. I can say, right, so the reason this is okay is because it's pretend. You know, the violence, there's violence in here and people are hurting each other, but it's
clearly total fantasy.
It's a fun, it's a cartoon and no one's really being hurt.
Overwatch is quite Saturday morning cartoony, really.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of got that vibe to it, hasn't it? So, but it gave me an opportunity to open a discussion with her about what violence is bad and why it's bad in the real world and what effect it has on people. And then, you know, to make that distinction. So we talked about that distinction, which I think could actually be quite useful because then I'm presenting it. I'm the first person to present it to her and you can control it and like give her a little lesson in distinction between the two.
Yeah. And I had a very similar, I had a conversation with my kids just a couple of days ago. I went to see Wonder Woman in the cinema. Right. Now, Wonder Woman is a 12A, but it was on a local cinema as kind of like a kind of family, you know, kids club almost kind of thing, like an early riser thing. And it's been in other kids, you know, kind of, we understand what a 12A is where you take your kids along. And just explaining for that, like, okay, like, look at all that cool fantasy violence. And like, my oldest son got really upset. There's a scene, spoiler, in Wonder Woman where, because it's set in World War One, where mustard gas is used. And it's done very subtly. It's not like you see people like choking out or anything, but like, you know, it's obvious that lots of people have died here.
Yeah.
And he got very upset. So I was like, okay, well, that's like real world. That's historical stuff that happened and all this is fantasy stuff. And I wonder if, like kind of what you're saying with Overwatch, maybe games ratings can work in a, I mean, it's not something that to necessarily advise right now, but you know, there are games I think we all have where you know you can play in the company of your kids, even though they probably shouldn't play those kids as well. Because I played a lot of Horizon Zero Dawn with my oldest kid, who bloody loved it because it was roaming around. Here's a girl with bow arrows taking on, like, you know, massive robot dinosaur stuff. Yeah. And that is cool. And there's bits of that game where I'd be like, okay, this looks like it's getting a bit darker now. Maybe we'll just pause it here. But like for big parts of that game, I could play it with him. And that's probably a 16. I think a Peggy 16. I mean, can you, is there games you've had, Ellie, where you can like, Charlie, your oldest, right?
Mm,
you know, you can be like, you know, it's okay for him to kind of watch me play this and we can talk about it. Because I know it's not going to like suddenly rear up. It's not going to be like a Nazi coming at me with a machete or anything.
Yeah, like I tried to play The Last Guardian with him because I thought, you know, this looks, I think it's, I can't remember if it's a 12 or something, but I thought, you know, look, at the end of the day, how bad can this be? It's a little boy and a big giant cat weagle thing. What's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is that Charlie thought it was the most boring thing that had ever happened. And
Charlie
just like, mummy!
A whole bunch of people on Reddit,
Yes. He's just like, this is boring. So that didn't work out so well. But again, I think, yeah, it comes down to also, like you saying, knowing your child. And my son had recurring nightmares after he watched an episode of Scooby-Doo, as in the animated cartoon from the 80s. Yeah. So I don't think that child is ready for Wonder Woman necessarily or Overwatch, but I completely understand, you know, your kids are different.
Oh no, my oldest had nightmares about Lord of the Rings.
Well,
they watched, which seems a lot gentler than a Marvel or a DC film. Sorry, comic book people.
Uh-oh.
Slip of the tongue.
Well, interesting, there was that, I'm struggling to remember the name of it, but there's a Pixar film. No, I've got Mighty Number 9 in my head, but I know that's the Mega Man thing. The one with the robot, who's his friend, it's like a medical robot, and then they put a robot, like a combat chip in it.
That is Mighty Number 9, isn't it?
Mighty Number 9, isn't that the Mega Man remake?
That's an inflatable, it is a medical thing, and it gets armoured up.
Is it called Mighty Number 9?
I think so. Oh, no, wait.
No, that's the Mega
game,
Man.
Isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah, so whatever that's called, brilliant.
Big red something. No.
Hero
big
number
Hero 6.
Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
God, that's such an
we should know this.
Parent conversation.
That was like the world's worst cryptic crossword
thing with the, you know, the men and the robot.
You know, the big eyes.
Yeah. Anyway, that.
Yeah. What's it called again? I've already forgotten.
Big Hero 6. We watched that at a friend's house because my friend said, "Oh, get Sam and get her to watch this. She'll love this. It's a Pixar."
Yeah, I mean, it's Disney, right?
Yeah,
Disney Pixar. Yeah.
And there's a bit in that, spoilers for the film, where his brother goes into this lab, and the whole building explodes, and he dies, and then there's a funeral. And she was so upset. She was obviously shocked because he walks back in, and it just goes kaboom, and that's him dead. And then there's a funeral scene. It was really harrowing for her. It's horrible.
Well, on the other hand, tough luck. We had Bambi. Do you know how many years of therapy it's cost me to
Bambi,
get over that?
I mean, Optimus Prime. And I'm sure there are people listening who, you know, remember how people have to introduce a new toy line. That means killing these things off. But I mean,
in Bloody Nightmare, children would fall off cliffs.
Yeah,
and
but they
be
did too
sliced.
With a yeah, but they had like, what's his name going, you know, nasty afterwards, which kind of took the chill off the experience. And also they fell in like as a static frame.
Yeah, true.
Nightmare.
Or also choose your own adventure. You'd be like, oh yeah, page, I'll go left, page 72. Oh, you have fallen into the bowels of the beast. You will now be digested for 2,000 years.
On the
good illustration.
Not but the good
that's
thing,
not a bedtime story.
The good thing about this fighting fantasy books is I learned a whole bunch of new words, you know, like keelhauled, like garrotted, like loads of cool terms. I mean, Ian Livingstone's been on this podcast before, and like I thanked him for the education that gave me, and he looked at me a bit funny and
serial
said,
killer,
he never wanted to see me again. and he hasn't seen me again.
Yes, because you've murdered him.
But I mean, it's interesting you say about the Big Hero 6 thing. I remember starting Ni No Kuni when Elliot, who's my oldest, was maybe 4. Like I got it, you know, a bit later. And at the start of that game, or near the start of that game, the character's mum dies. And it was the same thing. It's like, it's a game. It's a narrative device, man. It's going to make you, this is why it's built up. And we had the same conversation about Wonder Woman after. It's like, look, you have a real downer. Like, I'm not going to spoil another bit of that film, but there's obviously, you know, there is a depth and then there is a height and, you know, and whatnot. We understand how that works. But like for kids, they don't get it, which I guess is why, you know, with something as interactive as games, you know, we've got to really be on what they're interacting with and make sure there's nothing that's going to like emotionally scar them.
Yeah, for sure.
Possibly. So what can you play with your kids right now that doesn't drive you nuts?
Well, she's at that age now because she's always, Sam's always had an interest in games. And as I say, it's now got to the stage where it's actually fun to play games with her.
With your own child, which is nice. That's why we have them.
Well, yeah, exactly. Finally.
There's a reason for reproduction.
Yes, I found it.
I just wanted someone I could beat at Monopoly. That was the whole idea.
Now I'm losing.
Yes.
So it's turned on me.
When my kids show up and start beating me at Scrabble or something, that's it. That is like, right, pack your bags, son.
Yeah.
I don't care that you're 10.
I regularly beat my dad at backgammon and it drives him absolutely up the wall, and I love it.
I wouldn't even know how to play backgammon still. I think during the course of my life, I've had about 5 or 6 backgammon sets and not known how to play any of them.
I used to play it on a Thai island for money, but that's another story.
Good Lord.
It's a true story, but it's not for this podcast.
The Thai island special, I think, we'll save for when winter encroaches and we need a bit of tropical spice in our life.
Why not?
What were we talking about? Oh, games we can play together.
Yeah.
I've been... What I have been doing is sort of trying to get through my indie back catalogue of shame with her, because a lot of those tend to be suitable, and she's getting more, her attention span's getting longer and she's less annoyed about failing, if I sort of frame it right and go, that's all right, we learn this and we learn that.
Yeah.
We've been playing Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time together.
Cooperatively.
Yeah.
That's good.
Which is great fun to do.
Yeah.
And we worked out our own... you know, what we like using and that sort of thing. And we're close to completing it. And actually we did, we first timed the boss on the second stage, and that felt great to
do
it
together. Did you high five?
Yes. And she hurt my hand a bit, but yes, we did.
They get a bit vigorous, like, don't they? Yeah, you get your old bones in your fingers.
Please, no. So things like that are great. So I'm sort of going through that. I've never played Fez, but it's been on my PS4 since it was in one of the PS Plus updates
a long time ago.
So I started that with her because it's just something that we can play that I know well. So far, I don't know where it goes, but I'm presuming it'll be fine all the way through.
It goes round and it goes around and it goes around.
And again,
that's the mechanic of it. Yeah.
and she's enjoying that as well. And so things roped in up a bit, but there is actually quite a lot out there that we can play together. Competitively and cooperatively, actually. So, it's nice. Yeah, just starting to see that variety.
Hmm.
Whereas the year old just sort of mashes her hands on the keys and
you haven't
dribbles
used her
onto...
as a kind of Street Fighter bag.
I've tried. Yeah, I've tried. There's a new character out called Ed in Street Fighter V who has no motion requirements. You just press different buttons to do a special move. So I'm like, this is going to be her first character. She's picking it up, but she does get one of that, and then she just starts hammering the stick, and I'm like, that cost £150, thank you, give it back, please.
Don't mess with daddy's expensive toys.
Yes.
Because that is a big thing, right? Having that trust in a child, given what controllers cost these days, because I haven't got any £100 sticks, but I've got, like, you know, the generic PS4, Xbox One kind of pads, and like still 40 or
still
50
enough,
quid
isn't
a pop,
it?
You know, and you know, they're in a box now. Like, you do not knock that off the table. Yeah. But, like, you know, when you see their little, you know, post-dinner greasy mitts or something, and I'm like, for fuck's sake, just wash your hands, just stop it. Like, you know, oh, so-and-so's been around, they've been playing Minecraft together, and I'm looking at my PS4 pad, and it's just like, it's got bits of cracker in it. My youngest, like, chewed the sticks of my old 360 pads, so they got all lumps out of them. It's just like, what are you doing?
Horrendous. Yeah, Sam dribbled in a PS3 controller when she was a kid, and it just immediately stopped working.
Yeah.
In seconds. I was like, oh, good, thanks.
Is there anything you play together with your kids right now?
As I said, we do quite a lot of platform games sort of together, but really that's quite often me playing them.
Are these new ones, these kind of older school ones? Because Go 8-Bit obviously has an old school vibe. I don't know whether that requires playing of old school things sometimes to
research. The spin-off show does, because on the spin-off show we talk about what we're playing at the moment, or we talk about, we have a thing called Hall of Game where we have two competing games, and so that's been, yeah. So,
and only
so,
one can survive.
Presumably. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all that.
The other one is destroyed, all copies.
It's nailed to a wall.
Are rounded up and put in the Nevada desert, probably. I don't know. I believe that's what happens to these things.
That's exactly what we do. Yeah. The budget's huge for that show, as anyone who's seen it will know.
Hey, let's not knock it. I believe that was Dave's, most watched new IP or something of last year?
Go 8-Bit was, the main show.
But your show, not so much.
People go to bed. It's on at 11 o'clock or something, right?
I think it did make it into the top Dave's top 10 last week.
Good.
Which I'm pleased. A spin-off show at 11 o'clock at night, made for 25 pence, presented by me, is quite good, I would suggest. So,
So post pub, though, isn't it? Post pub.
Post pub, yeah. But I sort of know.
You're the new girly show, potentially. I've no idea.
This is it. This is the dream. I could be the next Hufty. Is that what she was called?
I can't remember.
I think it
Sarah
was
Cox was on it, right?
She's great. Yeah.
Before she became Radio 2 Sarah Cox.
Yeah, and Go 8-Bit Sarah Cox. She's been on it? Yeah.
Well, she was in that Wipeout advert years ago, wasn't she?
Yeah.
With the nosebleed that had nothing to do with...
Which we actually made jokes about on the show. I'm glad you're watching it, Mike. Thanks for your support.
I try and watch when I
really
can.
Good.
But as we've already
it's
found
not like
out,
it's on day 48 times a week.
When you have
you could
kids.
Catch a repeat, Mike Diver. It's Britain's only television show about video games. You are video games for a living.
You could TiVo it. You could TiVo it.
I can't
TiVo it.
It's
not 2005. You people.
This pause live TV thing is still lost on me. Like, I mean, it's lucky if my remote control works, let alone anything else at home at the minute. That's obviously a plea for someone who's listening to this. Send new TVs to Vice's London office. I will make sure they find good homes.
I feel like I should say, we spend hours creating wonderful landscapes together on Minecraft or Super Mario Maker, which is something I do often say for money. But
it's a fib.
I think that's great. I think Charlie's a bit young for that. And I know lots of parents who do that with their kids, and that's great. I'm not a very good parent, though. And I'll be honest, I do quite often use video games, particularly on the tablet, to sort of buy myself some time or quiet or both.
Yes, because sometimes you just want to have a piss by yourself.
Sometimes you do, or something longer than a piss. Let's not get vulgar.
Yeah, true.
But sometimes...
a glass of wine while having a piss.
You need some special mummy time.
Yeah.
This is it, exactly. Yeah. Or you're in a restaurant and you've eaten your food and, you know, you just want to go on a 10-minute rant about Jeremy Corbyn without someone interrupting you. A good rant. Knocking their cutlery on the floor. An appraisal.
Mediocre rants, interrupt when you like.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
for this
exactly.
one, sit down, here is Angry Birds.
Yes,
shut up.
Yes. I am now going to do a positive appraisal of For the Many, Not the Few. But the point is, so I have been known to give Charlie an iPad, you know, and say, all right, yes. And he loves it. And he is astonishingly, almost frighteningly good at Temple Run 2.
Ooh.
That's his thing. And like watching him play, it is like Rain Man. It is a bit like, oh, what have I done? He's really, really good at it. But you know, that's a very, I'm not going to sit and pretend that's going to improve his hand-eye coordination. He's going to become a jet pilot. But you know, that is a fun little game. It's not violent. And one of the things I do like about it is, and this is my thing about games, I don't, you know, do you remember like 10 years ago, people say, oh yes, they're really good for your brain and your maths and your, that's bollocks.
Cognitive.
Really. Yeah, nonsense. But they do, in the same way that board games do, which nobody slags off, they do teach you things about competing and winning and losing. And a game like Temple Run teaches you that if you keep doing something, you do get better at it. And that is such a big thing, I think, for kids to learn.
Yeah.
So I don't think video games are, you know, will make your child a genius. But I also think they do have stuff that is worth praising in terms of what kids can learn from them.
What about brain training, though? Because that should make you that Nintendo game.
Yeah, that sort of died a death, didn't it? What
happened
to that?
Me? Well, it's not. I noticed it wasn't in the Nintendo Direct today.
No.
You know, Metroid 4, like Mario with little weird, like, deviant looking rabbits things. I was never into rabbits, never got that.
Hideous.
But it looks good though. Looks good. It's like a turn-based strategy Mario. It's quite interesting. Brain training. Kirby's back though. Hey, Kirby's a nice,
how refreshing,
kid-friendly character.
Yeah,
I think brain training
sucks
just...
and he blows.
He does.
He looks like a bollock. I mean, that's the dream.
He is a distended testicle, but you know, so far as distended testicles go, he's a very cute one, I suppose. I don't sit down and play Doom with my kids, but we do, like, the oldest loves Mario Maker on the Wii U. I can leave that, you know, with him, like you say, to buy time. And then he'll be like, Daddy, look at what I've made. And I'll play it and it's garbage, but it doesn't matter because he's made it and he's so proud. And then he'll be like, right, now you do it. And I'll just, like, you know, put a bridge in here and I'll be like, right, I'll give it back to him. And then he'll play it and be like, wow, look, we made something. What are we going to call it? I don't know. What do you want to call it? Mario Run. I'm like, you can't. That's a game. That's another game entirely. And we'll find a stupid name for it or whatnot.
Yeah.
But It's good. That's a good conversation thing. And he's quite into Minecraft. His kids like Minecraft. The Lego games are good for co-op as well, because like you can just do everything and they can like muck around and break up blocks.
Mm. Stardew Valley, actually. We had a bit of fun
on that. Stardew Valley.
He decided it was still boring after about 20 minutes, but it was quite a pleasant 20 minutes. Yeah.
That's Switch-bound, I think, is it?
Is it?
Possibly. Mm. I might have just made that up. Exclusive.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Say,
yes.
Let's
sure.
just
yeah,
say it sure is.
It sounds like something that should be on Switch. Which is now, you know, in the way I find that I deal with games nowadays, the Switch has been perfect for me, because like, I can have that console and just take it on a train where no one can bother me for like an hour.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
lovely. Like playing some Zelda on the way in. Oh, so nice. Oh. Mario Kart with a travel beer. Just such a delight. I mean, has the games industry, you think, in our years with it, got better at catering to parents with the demands of children? Because like originally it seemed to be this thing that was either games were pitched at kids, games were pitched at older kids, nothing kind of in between. And now it does kind of feel that like there are games that understand, and I think Nintendo is actually quite good at this, that understands like, you know, you want to dip in and out of stuff and stuff that you can share with your kids and kind of like bring them on through to enjoy games in a shared fashion, not in a kind of like, here is, you know, so-and-so suddenly shut himself away. Like I used to, you know, play upstairs without, my parents took no interest in video games whatsoever. And now I think that's changed a bit now, right? I think more people of our age are, you know, kind of come up through games and are passing that down a bit.
Yeah, I think Nintendo are probably the leaders on making that happen. We played Yoshi's Woolly World together, and there's lots of little mechanics in that are clearly designed for you to play with the...
Well, you can make it so they're kind of a younger child, effectively, as well, can't you? Or like, what's it called? Mellow mode or something.
Yeah, and then if they die, the penalty's so low, because if they die, they just come back, float back on the screen into an egg, and boop, and there's a nice little pop, and they're back. And you can also eat each other. So, not really
and
slowly.
Spit each other out as a projectile, right?
Yeah, not really slowly and sort of grotesquely over the course of half
but
an hour.
Yoshi's Woolly World, like Yoshi can inhale things and then poo out a yarn ball.
You can poo. So there's obviously the comedy of your daughter constantly eating and pooing you out, and you going, oh, you've done it again. That was funny an hour
nothing
ago.
Nothing funny than poo if you're six. There is nothing funny.
God, I was going to say, you're saying there's Mario Maker levels. What were they called? Mine would all just be called poo. If
poo
she had
land,
the chance of
poo,
poo one,
world,
poo two,
poo, world two,
poo seven.
Super Mario Pod Poo to see at some work.
Poo to see ya.
Poo to see ya. See, it's educational almost. That was the Rise Son of Rome. I did not play that with my kids. That was a bit too stabby.
But things like that, you know, so if there's a bit that she isn't getting on with, or there's a tricky platforming bit, I can just, bloop, Yoshi eats her, jump across a bit that's a pain in the ass, especially if actually it's more to do when I can't be arsed with her missing the jump 60 times. Just, right, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to grab you and get over here. Pop right to the side. She doesn't have a bad time.
And you have a moderate time.
And I have a moderate time.
That sounds great.
But then those games, especially Nintendo, those sort of platformers also have that mode where you sort of, you know, you have to go back in and find all the secret coins or whatever. And then you open up the world that's, the rest of the game is really quite easy. And then that one just makes you want to kill yourself. The secret world, you know, the special stage, you know, when you've collected all the stars. And then that's your kid watching you just sort of try not to swear in front
cursing
of
them. Cursing at a tiny little cartoon.
Oh, it's have to start from the start.
Yeah.
Goodness me. But so it has
Near
that
Automata,
level.
Of course.
What's that, sorry?
That was Near Automata, wasn't it? That kind of
indeed.
Which I did play some of that with my kids. But it's fine. It's androids. It's robots.
Fine. Robot death just is okay. Keep the camera at the top. And
they've seen bums before.
Yes, bums. Latex bums?
Yeah. Maybe that wasn't the best decision in hindsight. I think the industry's better for it, isn't it? And obviously people are coming around to the rating system, and it's a good time for kids to be coming up with videos. I mean...
But this is not some great benevolent sort of creative decision by the games company as well. I think the recession had a lot to do with it, because historically we know that in times of economic crisis, the one thing parents still buy is stuff for their kids, toys and obviously video games. And so I think that gave it a bit of a boost. But also I think video games companies are very keen to make it easy for parents to understand age ratings and controls and all that. All the consoles have got controls on them. You can set the Xbox One to switch yourself off after a certain period
of time.
Which
is fantastic.
Yeah. You can set the PS4 to only play games that are 7+ or below in terms of rating. So I don't think it's fair to have a go at the games companies anymore for not managing.
Yeah. So these kind of, because every now and again, one of those kind of things does flare up in the tabloids, and we all just kind of go like, kind of here we go again. Like, you know, I had on the radio quite recently where someone was saying, you know, some parent was saying, you know, I got my kid back from my friend's house and they'd be playing that, this, that, and the other, and people have to do more. And it isn't the games companies anymore, is it? It's people like us who have to be like, hey, Billy, put down that shotgun and come over here. I got some Kirby's paintbrush on the go. Wicked.
Yeah, wicked.
Really selling it there.
Crucial, guy. And it's like with screen time as well. I get asked a lot about that a lot, and there's a lot of debate about that. But really, it's just common sense. Like, you wouldn't let your kids eat ice cream all day, so just don't, you know, you shouldn't.
What the fuck?
Yeah, apparently that's bad. And there's no official guidelines. There are some in America, but they're quite arbitrary. But there's no official guidelines in the UK for how much screen time your children should have. And the reason for that is because nobody's researched that properly. Because you can't. You can't experiment on children, again, it turns out. So I think you just have to go with, you know, your brains, which, you know,
unfortunately, have been dulled by video games.
Sadly,
so,
yes.
So we're all screwed. Just before I wrap up, like I said, there was quite a few people who sent messages in. Some are kind of more comments, some are questions. Emma, I don't know your surname, sorry, on Twitter, says, you know, she's enjoyed how video games can help with bonding, puzzle solving, storytelling, and perseverance. Perseverance is quite a good one, like you're saying. You're kind of showing kids that if you, you know, mess this up, it doesn't matter. Look, you can go again. It kind of helps. Because at a young age, like even my oldest, like if you get something wrong the first time, does a bit of drawing wrong or goes over a line, that's it. That's the worst thing that's ever happened in the world. You know, big reaction. I mean, loads of kids are like that. And I think video games maybe can help to go like, okay, we can go again. It's fine.
Yeah, definitely. Sam, when she was getting really good at Mario and she would be, Mario Kart, and she'd be coming first. Then when she got to sort of third place, she'd just get kind of quite upset about it. And I'm like, well, that's 3 out of 12. That's still good. But then again, it offered us an opportunity to sit down, pause the game and go, right, you know, this is why that's okay. You know, and then just sort of give her a kind of a broader life lesson in quite a safe way, really. So it is handy like that. And other stories, like we just finished playing through, sounds like a plug now because I'm working with the Monument Valley 2 together. Yeah. And,
I should point out, actually, though, that that's one of my son's favourite games, the first one of them, which he just calls Ida and the Crows, that's it.
Ida and the Crow.
Like, he has no idea it's called Monument Valley, but like,
I like that
for a year, he would just be like, you know, let's play that.
Yeah.
And because it is something you can leave with kids, and I don't know if the second one's anything like this, I haven't played it yet.
It's it's very much more of a story that you play through, but I wanted to play it with her to have that experience, you know, and there's a theme, it's mother and child theme throughout it, and then there's a, without spoiling it, they have to go their separate ways at one point while the child learns how to make the fancy geometry on her own. And she really, it really affected her, like in a reasonable way, you know.
Yeah.
And very cute, she's just sort of clearly styling it out, trying not to be upset. She's like, oh, my fingernails really need cleaning. I'm just going to just clean them now, actually.
I wonder what's going to be for lunch at school tomorrow.
Yeah. And then that night she was putting to bed and she was saying, I don't want to go away when I'm older. I don't want to, you know, move house and find my own thing.
But your mum and me
would
prefer it.
I'll buy you the boat. But you know, and then we could chat about that, and then it turned a bit dark, and she went, "You're going to get old, and you're going to die." And I said, "Oh, yes."
And we're back to the mortality thing.
And then we're back there, aren't we? And I said, "Thanks. Let's discuss that now, just before I'm going to go and sit down and relax and think about it myself and stare at a wall." But it just you know, it was again quite a gentle way to introduce more grown-up themes to her and have her think about that in quite a safe way that I can control. Yeah. And
think about this. This will cheer you up. In a way, you're now going to live forever, aren't you? Because your voice has been recorded now on this podcast in thousands of years. Our children's 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 children will be listening to this, and it will be like you're still alive in some way.
You'll be an audio diary in the real world version of a post-apocalyptic video game.
When the whole of the human race is existing only as an intelligent gas anyway.
And at least until the sun gets too big and just sets fire to the entire planet and it turns into a big cloud of shit.
Can't come soon enough. Yeah. Alex Shaw is a question. At what age does giving kids an unplugged controller to pretend they're playing stop being clever and start being selfish?
Oh, well, I think that's, you know, I have a friend called David who he had some friends once. They got back from the pub. Famously, they were playing FIFA on the Sega Mega Drive, so quite some time, and it was an absolutely epic match. And then it was only after about 10 minutes they realised the controller wasn't plugged in. So I think, you know, that's a lifelong adventure.
Yeah. And I can remember, like, my dad saying, yes, you can go play on the arcade machine, but giving me no money. And I'm sure for a few months, I'll just be like, yeah, I'm Robocop, I'm a turtle, this is wicked. I'd be like, wow, these games are really short. And the kid, like writing keeps flashing up, insert credit. Well, Daddy, what's a credit? Is that, that's what we get at school. I can't insert a credit, sit down and drink your apple ties.
I want an apple tizer now. Maybe a lilt.
Great stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, I think we've all done that when we're here. Hold this pad for a while. Aren't you doing well, wink?
And I think by child number two, morals kind of take a back seat anyway, don't they? So I'm not sure I've considered when it becomes selfish. Just when does it stop
take
working?
A back seat with his second child. Yeah. I mean, they do. I mean, that's the thing. Yeah,
there's no time for them.
No time for consideration of what's right and what's wrong. I'm going to be really bad here because obviously I kind of know the guy, and perhaps we all do. But Dan Grigliopoulos. Is that how I'm saying his name?
Sure.
I've never asked him. I've been out with a drink with him before.
He's all right with Dan Grill.
Dan Grill. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing on Twitter. I mean, on Twitter, he doesn't have his name anymore. He just has an octopus.
It's his own fault.
I get it. But yeah, he asked, like, you know, what are the best games to train your kids on for future co-op? And he adds, do second kids, appropriately, count as new game plus DLC or a word that I enjoy that I've not seen before, expandalones.
Oh, what's an expandalone?
I'm guessing that's like Uncharted Lost Legacy, isn't it? Which is DLC, but a whole, but a new story.
Well, your home be at risk if you do not keep up the expandalone secured on it. That's what I want to know. That's exciting.
I'm going to underpin my mortgage with Naughty Dog DLC. it's probably better than my credit rating right now, I'm sure. But yeah, future co-op stuff, I don't know. Overwatch, presumably.
Yeah, well, the first thing I tried her on, the very first thing that she was interested in was the original Mario Brothers. Terrible idea. It's so difficult.
Yeah.
And you're dead in about 10 seconds. Wow. Then she's interested in Mario Kart. And I discovered that, which was initially excruciating. I mean, she must have been 2.5 or 3. It would be 6 minutes, 6 minutes on the lap time, and she's just driving into a wall for 6 minutes. And I'm going, yeah, if you're having fun, that's fine. I'm not twitching. but then...
Yeah, I wouldn't have put that on Twitch. That's probably people aren't that keen.
Worst channel ever.
Yeah.
Can you have minus subscribers?
It was a bit like Twitch plays Mario Kart, to be fair. But what I did was I put her on Rocket League training mode, where it's just the ball and you can't lose. And she just kind of go, oh, right, so left makes the car go that way. I just sort of let her play with it for 20 minutes. And then she kind of learned the language of what it is to drive a pretend car around. And put her back on Mario Kart, I don't know, a week later, and she then got it. So it's anything where there's not much of a fail state or no fail state at all, that they can use it more as a toy than being measured and judged. If there's things that are going, you did it wrong, they hate it. So it's something where it's going to be fun and you can either carry them along or there's no obvious failure there at first, at least. So they get into it and then you can introduce a challenge.
I vibe that. On the second part there, I've got to say that I think second kids is effectively a new game plus, because obviously you're doing the whole thing of stuff again, but you've got all the shit already.
It's harder.
And you just pass it down to that next person.
And it's harder.
And it is harder.
And there's the bits you've forgotten about that you go around again the second time. You go, oh, I hate this bit.
Did we all get the whole shit about, well, you know, kid number two, that'll be better, that'll be easier?
No, I was told that's the end.
I was definitely told, oh, well, you know, once you've had one, that's fine. It'd be like fine with the second one because you've done it all before. And like...
No. I know a few people.
Well, clearly your circle of friends is nicer than mine.
Yes, they clearly advised me properly. Yeah. No.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have bothered. You know, only child, mate. I mean, you know, it's cheaper.
I had it more with the first one. I definitely remember, the second one was not much, but I definitely remember a lot with the first one. A lot of people going, oh, you've got no idea. And then they'd tell you about what was going to happen to you when you had a baby for like 45 minutes. And then they'd go, but you've got no idea. And I go, well, I have, because you've just told me in explicit detail how fucked my life is. So thank you so much.
In horrifically explicit. Yes. I have to stop myself. I realise we're veering off now a bit. But you know, when you see on Facebook, oh, so-and-so is happening, it's going to labour. And I'm thinking, I mean, I obviously haven't given birth to a baby, but I've seen some of the results
you've
of that process.
Face,
and
so
I just want
to
be like, yeah, when you've stared into that pit, into that.
Into the gaping maw.
Into the maw that is Christ.
I remember what that is Christ.
No.
It's turned into an evangelical.
But like, listen, my first kid and second kid, in fact, were both cesarean in the end. The first one was a lot more stressful than the second one. By the time the second one, I was like, you know what, that was easy. We'll do that without the whole 36 hour of horrible labor beforehand. But like, you know, I'm inquisitive. And you know, you got the little barrier up. You're not meant to look over that little barrier.
Oh, you went behind the curtain.
They go behind it.
Don't do that.
I just peeked my head over.
Why'd you do that?
Because I wanted to stare into the the very
face of death. Do you regret that decision?
No, because it was like kind of like, oh, well, that's where it comes from. But like, you know, when it's not coming out the normal way, and it was just fine. And I tell you what, they don't have to stretch it a lot. It's great.
It's great.
But you know,
this is where I jump in with my claim to fame, delivering my own second daughter.
Did you?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much. Not intended. Not the intention, but second one comes very quickly. We discovered just how quickly when I was catching her in the bathroom.
Wow. When needs must, eh?
What's that, sorry?
When needs must, if
indeed, like, yes.
You know, when you've got, yeah, goodness so, me, I can't imagine that.
Good for you, because in that situation, out of you and your wife, you were the one doing the hard work.
Exactly.
There, so well done, you. That's your claim to fame.
This is the dad thing all the time. Whenever dad's talking about, like, you know, I was hard, oh, this was set, oh, blah, 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 blah. And then we're just like, no, our wives aren't listening, are they? No, it's fine. We can still get away with this. But
and then I bought her a sandwich. Oh, I'm so great.
Then I went to the pub while my wife fell asleep.
And told everyone what I'd just done.
A midwife looked after my newborn son. Sean Thomas on Twitter. This is a confusing one, but I'll leave this as the final one. Sorry to everyone else who did sending questions or comments. But the question for Ellie, I don't understand this at all, but maybe you will. Can your husband stop monologuing about potential Nintendo Direct reveals? What does he know
Who does he think I'm married to?
I have no idea. Are you married to someone who knows about Nintendo?
My husband has no interest in video games whatsoever. Da, da, da. Does he think I'm married to Dara O'Brien or something? We just work together.
That's it, isn't it?
Is he your telly husband? Out of the people on that show, which one's your TV husband? Is that a thing?
Well, that makes me feel weird, because he's more like my sort of brother, but that also sounds weird. I don't know.
Let's just say this.
Sam and Steve have to sit on the sofas, and me and Dara have special thrones.
Ah, yes. So,
and I have a desk, bitches.
Like, I'm wondering, like, when the French football team, I think it was French football team, might have been his club team, when Fabien Barthez was a goalkeeper, used to turn out and people would kiss his head for luck, his big bald head. Like, do people do that with Dara before a show starts? Walk over, kiss the dome?
No.
All right, I'm glad we cleared that up.
I shan't speak for him. I don't think he'd like that. But, you know, maybe I'll give it a go. If we get another series, maybe I'll give it a go.
I'm not recommending that at the next BAFTAs people just like rush him and kiss him on the head. Unless he's wearing a t-shirt that says, it explicitly invites people to do that.
Yeah.
For some kind of social experiment.
Just a t-shirt saying, kiss me on the head.
Kiss me on the head.
That'd be a very creepy t-shirt.
My son wrote a brilliant note directed at his mum, I suppose, but I enjoyed it, and it's still pinned to the fridge, and it just said, like, mum, when is it Easter? Like, let me know when you read this, or something to that effect. or like, you know, I'm like, it's a bit sinister there.
That's weird. Your kid's weird, Mike. Your kid's weird.
Yeah, but you know, he's learning
karate.
I'm sure
he's lovely.
So, you know, that's going to be a good thing when other people find out he's a bit odd and he just kicks their ass.
Well, he better not try and take my son on at Temple Run 2. That's
all
I can say.
There you go. That's the thing. He'll make a great, he'll make a level for your kid in Mario Maker, and he'll
amazing.
Be like, you can't do this. And I'll be like, Elliot, you can't do it either, mate. you've made an impossible stage. Right, brilliant. Thanks, guys, for being on the Waypoint UK podcast. I say UK because we have other podcasts available on the internet. I mean, it's silly kind of geo-locking a podcast. You can't do that. I don't think you can do that. The world is indeed some kind of massive digital oyster these days. Where can people find you on said magical digital oyster of imminent doom on the tweets? So where, if you were, where can people find your work? Follow you
on MySpace. I'm
my song on MySpace that plays when you land on my page is
look at my friends to pay. No, I'm at Ellie Gibson on Twitter and at Scummy Mummies on Instagram and Twitter and the Facebook,
which is a very good podcast as well.
Thank you.
I'm sure I haven't actually listened to that one, but I'm just, you know, putting
In fact, if you do like guys, we've done an episode with Keith Stewart, who writes, he's the games editor for The Guardian.
Man.
And we talked about his book, A Boy Made of Blocks, which is about Minecraft and autism. And yeah, and it's one of my favourite episodes, actually. It's not just about boring old parenting. It's actually about video games. So check it out.
Gary, Gaz, Gareth.
Well, if you want my work, the sort of the substance, that's at Making Games is fun.
But where's the soul?
The soul, well, if you want the nonsense and the probably slightly too many Street Fighter clips, that's at Gary Dutton, D-O-O-T-O-N.
Existing confusion.
Yes.
And you can find Waypoint on Twitter, at Waypoint. We're on Facebook at Waypoint Vice, because presumably someone has Waypoint already. That's what happens on the internet. And you can find us online at waypoint.vice.com, where there's all kinds of other cool shit, podcasts, videos, articles, all manner of stuff. You know what websites are and how they work. The next Waypoint UK podcast will be live on June 29th, when someone will be joining me, I'm sure. Otherwise, it'd be pretty lonely otherwise. Probably to talk about games of the year so far, because, you know, we've had some and that's the middle of the year. Favourite game of the year so far? Either of you, before we wrap, put you on the spot.
The one I've played more than anything else, but that it came out last year.
Go on.
It's Cooking Fever.
Cooking
Fever?
Cooking Fever.
I played it on the set of Go 8-Bit, because there's quite a lot of rehearsing, and this is the Cooking Fever brigade now drilling building.
I'm glad that people have waited for us to finish our recording before they've started drilling fucking holes in the wall.
There's quite a lot of sitting around on set and stuff, and so I used to... I just played that game bloody incessantly. So, yeah.
I think that's probably a cue. Gary, what about yourself?
It's got to be Nier Automata.
Nier Automata.
A very, very emotional experience, that one.
You get ending K?
I can't remember. I got ending E, and that's the important one. I don't think I've got the
fish ending. Get the fish ending, just because it's a fish. Zelda, obviously. I know, right? And I was with you. I was skeptical. Then I sat down and I played it for like an hour. Then I had to play it for more hours. Then I had to play it for more hours. Then I got well beyond the need to have to play it from a professional capacity and just stayed up till 3 a.m. in bed playing it. And I was like, shit, that's probably the sign of a good game, isn't it? And on that bombshell, bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.